Please be seated. No, only do one and two. Yeah, notice that in the bulletin, just one and two. No, we're not doing the last one. The last one was added. It's go ahead, read it for yourselves. Open up. If you want me to do it the next time, you're congregationalist, you can tell me what to do. You will anyway. That's the neat thing about it. I had a nice talk with Ed. We were together this past week, weren't we? And Ed said, now, last week, which was Labor Day weekend, you know, we talked about rest and getting ready for the year ahead. And it was, though I say so myself, you know, very uplifting service and where we're talking. And then he said some of the churches he attended, you'd have this uplifting, beautiful message about love, and then next Sunday you'd get to church and it'd be all about sin, you know, and evil. Right, Ed? And so here's Tom reading the scripture. Forget all of the other stuff in there. Just think about teacher. And in the concordance, that's why that scripture really resonates. It's the teacher, right? It sounds like a Jethro Tull song, but it's my generation for you. And let's see here. Well, the teacher is also relevant, I think, when we talk about the Second Testament, the Christian Bible. It's Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And so let me see if I can find it here, and I will share that with you. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to the disciples, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. See, that's a beautiful scripture. All right. Just to keep teacher in your head. And that's even for some of you who teach during the week or have taught in public schools. Just think teacher. Now, the first scripture reading from Isaiah, it speaks not only about the teachers, but it also has a focus of remembrance. Remember your teachers and what they have taught you. Remember about the Lord your God. Do not forget. Never forget. And as a reminder of these teachings, the Hebrews were requested to write the great law upon their hearts. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your head, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And to this day, because of that particular reading, many Jews, they take that law literally. And if you visit Israel, you will see these Orthodox Jews, and they're at the Western Wall. They're wearing gadgets on their wrists and a tiny little box between their eyes. And in that box is written in Hebrew the words that I just shared. So that's a very literal interpretation if you're walking around with that little box between your eyes all the time. But people know exactly who you are. In both Hebrew and Christian scriptures, the word teacher is a title of great respect, and it is usually coupled with the word kyrios in Greek, meaning Lord. The word rabbi means teacher. And practically speaking, Every minister or pastor or rector or priest ought to be called rabbi, because we are all teachers. In the Christian scriptures, the term teacher is associated with Jesus, who was a Hebrew rabbi and therefore publicly recognized and respected. You heard the scripture reading, which focused on how Rabbi Jesus loved and respected and taught the little children as much as he did adults. And Paul also gives a place of honor to the term teacher in his ancient letters. He ranks the teacher next to apostles and prophets and relates that their vocation is to address the church, engage in study of scripture, and lead groups in theological discussions. Since this has involved the teacher or the rabbi, then the local congregation, local house church, was left the responsibility for the teacher's livelihood. And so it is today with the minister. Thanks for paying my salary. My sermon on this rally day does not focus on ministers as teachers. Instead, I'm here to discuss another matter about teaching and education, which stands apart from ordained ministers or professional pastors, and yet is so much a part of ministry that it's easily overlooked. Today, I would like to focus on some other teachers, those in the choir, those in our Sunday school, those in the Cadillac community, leading young people in public education classrooms. We have already had several conversations in our Cadillac area ministerial association with Jennifer Brown. She's the superintendent of our schools. She is so gracious to come to all of our meetings and to talk to us about the importance of the children in our schools and the teachers in our schools, and for us to communicate to our congregations that they need our support, and that support also, it's circular. It comes right back to all of us. But anyway, my sermon this morning, it's dedicated to these individuals, the unsung heroes of education. It's a tribute to teachers. So I see, how many of you, well, Laura, you're just sitting right there in front of me. You're an easy target. There's a teacher. Yep, I usually, Penny, you're hiding over there, so. Yep, Karma. Every time, yeah, Diane, raise your hands, the teachers. Yeah, there, Marie. Joanne. I'd probably be smart for me just to leave the pulpit and let you all come up and tell us all about it. And tear your own hair out, because that's sometimes what you have to do when you're teaching. Several times, my sister Nancy, and she's on our prayer list, she's a substitute teacher, but the amount of work that she does as a substitute teacher and then being exposed to all of the other teachers, I would say, why do you sub? And she said, I don't know if I could possibly do it week in and week out, year in, year out. There's a story about a rich Dutch merchant who was seeking to buy a diamond of a certain kind. He wanted to add it to his collection. Word got around, and Harry Winston, the famous New York diamond salesman, called the man to tell him that he thought he had found exactly the right diamond, the right stone. So the collector flew to New York from Amsterdam and was met by the salesman Winston had assigned to greet him and handle that transaction. The salesman exhibited the beautiful stone. He described it expertly. The customer listened, praised it, but eventually he turned away, saying, "It's a wonderful stone. It's not exactly what I want." Harry Winston, who had been watching the interview from a distance, stopped the Dutch merchant as he was trying to get out of the store, Do you mind if I show you that diamond just one more time? The merchant agreed. Winston took the stone in his hand. He did not repeat anything the salesman had said. He talked about it as though he were just releasing into words his own genuine admiration of it as a thing of beauty. Abruptly, the customer changed his mind, and he bought the diamond. While he was waiting for it to be brought to him, this Dutch merchant turned to Harry Winston, and he said, "What just happened here? You sold the same diamond to me after I said no to your salesman." And Winston answered, "You know, that salesman, he's one of the best men in the business. I have no hesitation in saying that he knows more about diamonds than I do, and I pay him a good salary for that knowledge. But I would gladly pay him twice as much if I could put into him something which I have and which he lacks. You see, he knows diamonds, but I love diamonds." Now, take that story and substitute the word student for diamonds, and you may have some understanding regarding what it is that sets the best teachers apart from all the rest. One teacher knows students, knows the subject, but the best teachers love students, love the kids. A little over 80 years ago, a Johns Hopkins professor gave a group of his graduate students an assignment. He told them to go to the poor section of Baltimore and survey 200 teenage boys between the ages of 12 and 16 and investigate their background, their environment. And he then asked that they predict the chances of the boys for a successful future. After consulting with the boys and compiling social statistical information, it was concluded that 90% of them would spend at least some time in jail. 25 years later, another group of Johns Hopkins graduate students were given the task of testing this prediction that had been made so many years earlier, and they went back to the same poor neighborhood in Baltimore. Some of the boys, now grown men, still lived in the area. A few had died. Some had moved away. Nevertheless, they were able to contact just over 150 of the original ones, and they found that only four of the group had ever been incarcerated. Only four. Now, why was it that these men who had lived in a breeding place of crime had such a surprisingly good record? The answers the boys gave were similar. "Well, there was this teacher that I had." They pressed further and found that in many cases it was the same woman. And next, the researchers contacted the woman, who happened to still be living. She was in a Baltimore retirement home. And they asked her how she had managed to exert such a remarkable influence over these at-risk teenage boys. Could she give any reason why they should even remember her? And she replied, "No, I really couldn't. I was just their teacher." And then thinking back over the years, she said amusingly, more to herself than to the researchers, "You know, I really love those boys." So those words express what teachers have done that so many others have not. They remembered her because she loved them. Many teachers know their subject, know their field of learning, but when it comes to dealing with children and youth, even adults, it's a different matter. Most teachers educate themselves so that they can convey knowledge and information to those they teach. They know their subject matter, but that's where it stops. There are just a few teachers who not only have a grasp of their subject matter and have filled their heads with plenty of information, but who also love to teach and love those they teach. Indeed, there are many well-known people who will say that they owe their greatness to one or two teachers along the way who made a difference. So, this morning, I invite you to take a moment and consider that teacher or teachers in the past who've made a difference in your lives. So just think about it. And for those who have grown up here in the Cadillac community, maybe as you're sitting here in the sanctuary, you think, okay. Amy's pointing at Penny. Okay. Penny, Tom. All I have to do, I have to just go and get my car repaired. And there at the repair place, you know, somebody would drop me off and talk to me about, oh, I remember that one. She caught me doing this or that. There was a Mr. Rumpf, I remember, I was doing a jigsaw puzzle or something in the cafeteria. And I was sitting there, and the next thing you know, I found myself in midair. He was a Vietnam War veteran, actually, but this was around 1968. But he was holding me up by the collar, saying, the kid you're with, he can keep playing. He has A's in algebra. You don't. I remember he carried me out of that cafeteria. That was one teacher in high school. Another was Mrs. Durfler, a creative writing teacher. You can blame her for these sermons, by the way. And then another teacher in college, John Hart. He was my English teacher. He told me all about the inscrutable forces and introduced me to a lot of mythology. And then there's Jack Paget. Jack was my philosophy teacher. I believe you had Jack as well, Catherine. And Jack was an absolutely marvelous teacher and person who was always, always available to his students. And then in divinity school, Roland Murphy is a priest out of Notre Dame. Wonderful man. Taught me all about the wisdom literature. Michael Ryan in postgraduate school. A dear friend and a person who took me through that journey. Just a few for me. How about you? Just think about it. Yes, I have one more story to share. Dr. William Stidger, a former professor at the Boston School of Theology, wrote about a woman who had taught him in school. And though decades had passed, he still recalled how she had influenced his love for poetry and how that poetry eventually influenced him in theology. He found her address, and he wrote her a letter of appreciation, and the reply came from that teacher, and back then he wasn't known as the Reverend Dr. William Stidger. He was just known as Willie. Hey there, Willie. That's a cheap. Hey there, Willie. I can't tell you how much your letter meant to me. And she said, I'm in my late 80s now, and I can still live in my own house. It's small. And I can even cook my own meals. In fact, I prefer to. And then she put a little poetry in there. Like the last leaf of autumn lingering behind, I still do get very lonely. And you'll be interested to know that I taught school for almost 50 years, and yours is the first letter of thanks I ever received. It came to me on a blue morning, and it cheered me as nothing had in years. So there you go. How many teachers have we each remembered across the years, and yet for one reason or another forgot to thank? It's one thing being thankful for that teacher or teachers who have made a difference in our lives, but it's quite another thing when we take into consideration an expression, a full expression of that thankfulness. How many of those at-risk teenage Baltimore boys return to their teachers, for example, to express thanks? Well, that's something we don't know. Well, ministers, we're lucky. We stand at the sanctuary door and we receive compliments on a weekly basis. Not always compliments. Feedback. And then I get home and I get more feedback. But yet our Sunday school teachers, and I see one back there named Pat, and then there's Karen, and how many others who volunteer to help out with our Sunday school. All of the teachers, how much feedback do they get? Because these educators are in the lower quarters of our church, volunteering without pay, nurturing our children and our young people. Wouldn't it be great to have our Sunday school teachers standing at the sanctuary door as you can meet and converse and express words of thanks for educating and loving our children week in and week out? Education is the greatest gift anyone can give to another human being. The Chinese proverb says it this way: if you are planning for a year, sow rice. If you are planning for a decade, plant trees. If you are planning for a lifetime, educate people. Like our Sunday school teachers who do not stand with me at the sanctuary door, it is my suspicion that our choir and our music directors could use positive feedback and possibly a word of thanks during coffee fellowship to our musicians as well might be offered, because often I'll see Margie here and I'll see Rachel here and over there, and when do they get to stand over there to hear the compliments? This morning we had another wonderful musician, and I find that there are so many in our church, with Jack Perkis. And you could talk to him about his beautiful Wheatland music. You'll have to wait, by the way, speaking of Wheatland, until next week to offer your thanks to Margie, because they are partying down there at Remus. Anyway, words of thanks, and it doesn't just have to be a word, but maybe a letter would be appropriate as well. And whether it's our choir, music directors, organists, pianists, Sunday school leaders, all the volunteers in the church, words of appreciation strengthen who we are as a church. Every Sunday, as we gather for worship, as we sing hymns and say our prayers, as we fellowship with one another, and as we reach out in mission and service to our Cadillac community and our world, we are expressing our thanks to God and our commitment to follow our teacher, Rabbi Jesus. We are putting his words into our flesh, recreating a ministry of love and service to others. So on this Sunday, on this Rally Day Sunday, now is the time to recall those teachers in church and in our community who've made a difference in our life stories. And today is also the time to make a phone call, to write a letter, and possibly to schedule a visit with that person who has loved you enough to make you into the person you are today. Amen.